I want to honor the Lord by honoring Brother Johnny. Let's give him a big hand for his love for the Lord.
God bless you. God bless you, man. I appreciate that. Well, it's a real joy and honor to be back at God's house again tonight. I want to thank each one of you for being here. And to the church, I want to thank you so much for the nice room. I want to thank you for every meal. I want to thank you for everything that you've done for me. Here this week, it's been a real blessing to see each one of you. I had a couple calls today from a couple preachers, and I was telling Brother Chabot and them about it. I had breakfast yesterday morning with some preachers, and one of them was from a college, and one of them was from a college, been in evangelism about 30-some years. And it's a shame to have to say this, but the man told me, he said he'd been preaching for 30-some years, and he's generally got about maybe 10 to 20 messages, and that's all he's preached in all these years. And I think that's a shame before God. I think if you're a preacher worth your salt, you're going to get in the book and you're going to study. You're going to give your people some fresh meat. Is that right? Is that right? I mean, they're going to have something live that they're going to be able to live on, and something that's going to be able to help them. When they come down to the house of God, the devil's been on their back all week long, and they come down there to the church looking for help. Is that right? They come in midweek service, they're weak, they've been beat up, the devil's done everything to them, and they got to have something to give them that shot, to really to help them, and try to get, we need to give them, be sure that we give them fresh meat every time they come to the house of God. Is that right? Now, so I want to thank you for everything that you've done for me. I want to thank you for the offering, each dollar, everything that you put in the offering pan, each song service, and the song that y'all dedicated to me Sunday morning on excuses. We you hear them every day, and I want to thank you ladies for doing that. The bus man, I want to thank you for going and picking up these children and picking up everybody else, and each person that has a part here in this church. And you, they're just members here that come here and sit up under Brother Ray. I thank God for you. I really do, from the bottom of my heart. Sister Donna's a great preacher's wife. I love her like a daughter. I mean, I really do. I love her like a daughter. And I thank God for each one of you. I don't have, if I could do everything that I wanted to do, I would have bought every one of you a gift of appreciation, something to show you that how much I appreciate you being so kind to me. But there's been somebody here every service that has not missed a service that I don't think that you'd be mad or jealous or upset that if I just wanted to show them just for a minute that I love them and I appreciate them being here and coming every night to the meeting. And so I picked them up a little bit of something today. I picked them up a little something here today. And there, this dear lady here that's sitting behind Sister Belinda and them, I don't know what her name is, but she's a blind lady. And she's come every service. She's rode the bus. I asked her, how'd she get here tonight? And she said she rode the bus. And she hadn't missed a service, and so she's been here. So I was thinking, what can I give her to show her that I appreciated her coming to the house of God? And so I got this friend thing, and because I knew that she couldn't be able to read something like that, so I got it with a little thing that when you open it up during the night, it'll go play Amazing Grace. So when the time that she's lonesome and it's not in church and nobody around, that she can just flip open that box. And I want you to know, young lady, that I love you. I really love you. I appreciate you. I really do. That's you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. And I do. I really appreciate her for being here every service. But you remember the seven churches of Asia Minor. Now you see, her problem is
And I want her to know that God loves her. And I want you to know, and I want you to know that she's got to have a lot of questions, especially when we get up and preach on blind Bartimaeus and how that God healed him and healed many of the others. But can I tell you something? When she gets her sight, the first face she'll see is Jesus Christ. That's the first face she'll see. She'll look into the face of the Son of God. But she won't be blind then. But you know what I'm concerned about? That lady's in good shape. I'm concerned about the blind church folks. The seven churches of Asia Minor, Jesus said, "Thou art blind, wretched, and naked." Is that right? Now, she can't go out on visitation. And a lot of you don't go on visitation either. So what's your problem?
That's right. Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Is that true? Good, well, you say you're going to get started again like last night. No, I'm not. I'm trying to hold my motor down. But listen to what I'm trying to tell you. She's got a reason. You don't have no reason. Is that right? Huh? Is that right? Brother Ray and Brother Jabbo, stand up there for a minute out front, if you would, please. Stand up out front, if you would. Put these on for me, if you would, please. Put these on. Now, I was in a meeting here a while back, and the preacher's wife was mean as the devil.
Preach it, brother. Preach it.
And so she was giving me trouble every night. She was giving the whole church trouble. So they asked me, what was I going to preach that night? I said, tonight I'm going to preach on three blind mice. See how they run. See how they run. They all run after the preacher's wife. And I'm going to cut off her tail with a carving knife. Amen. Thank you so much, son. Is that right? But the church is blind and naked and cannot see what's going on. Is that right? Huh? Now, before we get started in the message tonight, I was supposed to preach on the Bride of Christ. A week before I come up here, I sent it to Brother Jabbo's house for Sister Belinda to wear tonight, a beautiful white wedding gown with a veil and everything like this to preach on when the Shulamite girl married her shepherd boy up under that apple tree. And then Brother Jabbo asked me yesterday, we was overeating, what I was going to preach. I was going to preach on the price of all. The price of all. Here in a few minutes, we're going to leave here in a minute. We're all going to take up our gas tank because tonight is supposed to jump up so high. And everybody's complaining about the price of all, how much the oil costs. Can I tell you what the price of all costs God? It cost God His darling Son. It cost the life of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is a type of the oil. And Jesus said, it's expedient for you that if I go away, because if I don't go away, the oil will not come. Is that right? So all the oil cost God everything. Is that right? Now, a lot of you folks have been out to eat with me a long time. Do y'all remember this? You remember this? You remember this, Donna? Yeah. Brother Jabbo, help me here for a minute, if you would, please. Hold this rat, if you would, please,
yes, for me.
Now, you see, this thing's got a lot of power to it, don't it? It's got a whole lot of power to it. Be turned over to 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you would, please. Got a whole lot of power. The preachers at the fellowship yesterday said that I was a rat catcher. And that rat, that's his main purpose. Brother, let me read that verse to him, if you would, first. Let me read that verse while you stand there, Brother Jabbo. Let me read that verse. Look at this verse. Just stand right there for a minute, Brother Jabbo, if you would, please. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 7, moreover, these are qualifications for a preacher. He must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and what? The snare or the trap of the devil. Now in Jeremiah chapter number 5, in Jeremiah chapter number 5, and in verse 26, it said, "For among my people," Jeremiah 5 and 26, "are found wicked men. They lay wait as he set us snares. They set us trap to catch men." Now I want you to watch this real close. I want you to watch this, if you would, please. You see, that's the devil's job, is to set a trap for you and me. Is that right? Yeah. That you get caught in a trap. Please, you young people, listen to this if you would. There is a trap the devil is setting, not only for you young people, but for each and every one of us. Is that right? I mean, to catch you in that trap. Now, when you get the package here that just come in, that I tore it off at the motel, here's what it says on the package. "For best results, put bait on it, but don't set the trap the first 3 times. The 4th time, put it on there. You know why? Because they will think they got by with something." Is that right? Is that the way we do? We think we get by with something, but all of a sudden one day, pow, you're caught in the trap. Is that right? Come here, son. Come here, son. Cock this thing back, if you would. Cock it back. There you go. Now hold it right there now. Now watch this real close. That rat, he thinks he got by with something. And then he'll come back. Let it loose. Let it loose. He's going to catch him. Is that right? Now, the devil is good about setting traps. Do you know, first thing is, did you know what happens is, whenever you do set a rat trap, the ones that you catch most is not the rat. You catch the little mice. You see, that's the way it is. The devil sets a trap and he catches our children in it. He catches the babies in it that don't know no better. And us older people, glory to God, is supposed to tell them about the devil's bait. Is that right? That's exactly the way it is. And then they get inside that trap and they lose their life. Now, where does the devil set these traps at? Now, I know I used to be a trapper down in Louisiana. You know where they set them at? The devil sets his traps in the schoolhouse.
That's good, brother.
Is that right? He'll set them in the schoolhouse, and he'll use that bait. If they've got by going out premarital sex or drinking or smoking dope, and they've got by for a little bit, they think they're all right. Is that right? And all of a sudden, snapping, son, snapping. Let her go. You see what it'll do? It will catch you. He'll catch these kids in the schoolhouse. He'll catch you when you're by yourself.
That's right. Yeah.
Is that right? All you got to do is throw a little bait out there. I don't know what might be that might draw you to the trap. But once you get to the trap, I'll guarantee you, you'll think you get by for a while, and all of a sudden it'll snap on you.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Is that right?
Exactly right.
And it's got you. Not only that, when by yourself, but can I tell you something else? The devil will set traps in the church.
Yeah, sure he will.
He's looking. Jeremiah said he's looking for the souls of men, and he'll set a trap, whatever it takes to get you in that trap, and he'll make it look so good and enticing, and you get in there, bam! He's got you.
That's right, amen.
Is that right?
Amen, that's right.
Now watch this real close. Pull it back for me, son. Pull it back for me. Not all the way, not all the way. Don't slam it loose. The only way that you can get out of the trap... There's only one way you can get out of the trap, my friend. Let her go. You can run that rat through there all the way you want to, and it won't bother him a bit. That cross is the only thing. Is that right? Is that right? So what does that mean? That means the way that rat would have died, this trap would have had to be sprung. But glory to God, Jesus Christ sprung you. Is that right? He sprung you. Ah! That's what God does on our sinner. He is a bait, but he sprung you out of it. The cross is the only thing that can get you out of the devil's trap. Is that right? Thank you, Brooklyn. Amen. Release that thing for it. Don't hit your fingers now. It'll break a finger. Thank you, son. I appreciate that. Thank you, Brother Chambell. I appreciate that. So you remember that?
Yeah, okay, I remember.
You remember that? The devil is setting traps, and he's out to get you. But glory to God, God's the only one that can set the springer loose. He sprung me as he sprung you. Is that right? All right, real fast, we're going to go home. I got a long way to go, and you do too. In Acts, in the book of Acts, if you would please. In Acts chapter number 27. Acts chapter number 27, if you would please. Acts chapter number 27. God likens the church like tonight when I was going to preach on the bride. He likens this church unto a bride. He likens this church like unto a ship. That's the reason most of the time when I do something like this, I haven't sang the old ship of Zion or ship ahoy or something like that. He's the captain. We're aboard his ship, the old ship of Zion. I want you to do, before we turn there, in case we cut it off early or what, if you're having problems and you don't know how you're going to come out of it, and you might be going through some of the biggest storms in your life, can I tell you something? Tennessee Temple, Bob Jones University, Hiles Anderson College, it don't matter where it's at. Only God can give a storm degree. You hear what I'm telling you? Whatever storm you're going through, only Jesus Christ can give you the degree to get through it. Is that right? But I want to show you something. If you're going through a storm right now, look, Paul is in the biggest storm he's ever been in his life. A lot of theologians that I've read behind said in this Acts 28:1 that he was 500 miles off course. No, he was right on course. He had to go to that island call. Look what it said, Acts 28:1. He had to go to the island called Melita. Do you see that word? And he went to an island that was called Melita. You ought to underline that and put it in the margin of your Bible. That word Melita means a bucket of honey. You might be going through one of the biggest storms in your life. I don't know if it might be cancer or losing a job or what it might be, but I want you to know it's going to wind up the biggest bucket of honey that you ever seen in your life. In Acts 28:1. That's what God does for his children. Now here's my text. In Acts 27 and verse 31, they're in a big storm. I mean, this reels, it's reeling and rocking. 276 men aboard the ship for 14 days and nights. They used to didn't have radar and radios and all that. They sailed by the sun, moon, and stars. But at this time, there wasn't no sun, moon, and stars. It was all blacked out for the moon. And Paul makes a statement in Acts 27:31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except ye abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." He's not talking about your salvation. He's talking about losing your life. Because you can have a saved soul and a lost life. Is that right? So number one thing is, on the ship that Paul was on, there was strife on the ship of Zion. Look at verse 10, if you would, in that same chapter. "And he said unto them, Sirs, I perceive this voyage will be much hurt and much damage, not only to the lading of the ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." In other words, on that ship, that man that was captain of that ship said, "I don't care what that preacher says, I'm going to do it the way that I want to." Can I tell you something right there? That caused strife above that ship. And the reason that God puts a pastor over a church is for him to lead that ship. Is that right? And you're going to listen to everybody else. Can I tell you something? It won't wind up nothing but a bunch of strife. Is that right? And that ship is a reeling and a rocking. All right, for the sake of time, watch this real fast. Not only will there be strife aboard that ship, but look at verse 20. In verse 20, and it says, "And neither the sun nor the stars many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, that all hope that we should be saved, that was taken away." They was in the biggest storm, and they didn't know if they'd ever even make it. Now I want to show you something. Look at verse 18 real quick. Verse 18. And the Bible said, and we being exceedingly tossed with tempest, the next day we lightened the ship. Can I tell you something? You see that word, lightened the ship? I worked aboard ship for many a year. And whenever that ship's loaded, she sails real deep in the water. But the empty she gets, the higher that she gets. Can I tell you something? The whole ship was hiding for a long time. The most precious cargo that's ever been on the ship was hiding is the old time shouting saints of God. Is that right? But can I tell you something? I'm going to church after church, and there's not many on board nowadays. Is that right? I was at a church sometime here a while back, and they voted in one of these little two-by-squirt preachers. Amen. And he brought him in about 24 years old. And here's what he said. He said, we're going to have a young church for young people. And he said, anybody over 65 years old, you can't sing in the choir. And he said, you can't sing in the choir. And you can't have an office in this church if you're over 65 years old. Boy, that was an old boy stood up back there. He said, sir, I need to ask you a question. He said, what's that? There was a lady in that church, she was 81 years old, and her name was Annie. He said, does that go for Annie too? She's 81 years old. He said, that's right, that goes for Annie too. And that man stood up, he said, I'm going to tell you something. When I was a little bitty boy, and my foot couldn't even hit the floor, he said, Annie led me to the Lord. There's seven pastors of pastoring churches right now that Annie led to the Lord. There's boys right now overseas that Annie led to the Lord. Preacher, I think it's time you resign right now. Is that right? We have lightened the load. Is that right? Some of our old time convictions that we used to have, you had to spit right, dress white right. Is that right? And we throw these old doctrines over the side to lighten the ship to try to get along with everybody else. Is that right? So not only that, let me show you something real fast so we can go. Watch this. Not only was there storms, they had storage problems. You got to lose some of their cargo. In verse 20 again, they lost all sense of direction. But I like what it said in verse 15. The Bible said in verse 15, and when the ship was caught and could not bear into the wind, we let her drive. There's some times in your life that you're not going to know which way to go. You're not going to do that at the church. You're not going to do it at the house. But can I tell you something? If you just let the wind of God blow and you just let her drive, don't you try to drive it. Let God do it. He said, I just took my hands off the wheel and said, God, just do what you want to do. Is that right? Is that true? Man, I tell you, I like to drove myself crazy. I thought the church belonged to me. And I thought if I wasn't passing it in fold up, can I tell you I've been gone these years and it's still going. Is that right? Had everybody in town mad at me every time I turned around. Just a few weeks before I left there, they threatened to burn me out. They said, we'll kill you. You won't be here till daylight the next morning. We live way out there in the country. I mean, way out there in the country. And we got home there that night, me and my wife and my children, and cars were circling my house, blowing the horn. I mean, a cussing, saying all kind of things. Just good deacons. Don't worry about it. That's all it was. Just deacons. That's all. And I mean, there was a cussing and a rant and a smoke. You'll be dead by in the morning, Campbell. We'll kill you by in the morning. I took my wife and kids, and I put them all in the bathroom in there. Hid them inside the bathroom. And boy, I just knew that they was going to kill us. And we got real quiet about 1 o'clock in the morning. All of a sudden, my mind got to going crazy. I said, I know what they're going to do. These guys are miners. They're going to throw a stick of dynamite in my house. They just said, I'll be dead before the sun comes up in the morning. I know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to blow me to kingdom come right out of this thing. And all of a sudden, them cars just stopped coming. And I waited a little bit longer. I kept tippy-doing back there and say, Carly, y'all be quiet, be still. They might be slipping up on the house. I even called the sheriff's department. They said, who is it? I said, it's them people's boys. They said, we ain't coming. I said, they're too stinking mean. We ain't coming out there. They'll beat the devil out of us. I said, boy, you really helped me out a whole lot, hey, but anyway, it got real quiet. And I said, what in the world's going to happen? I opened the front door, listened to hear any motors, didn't hear no motors. And I started walking out this way towards the sidewalk, and I had my shotgun in my hand. About that time, I heard, I like to die. I like to have a coronary bypass out there. And I turned around like this, The guy said, hey, Brother Johnny, don't worry about it. Go back in there and go to bed. He said, I was working down at the fire hall. It's a man that I'd led to the Lord 4 years before that. He said it was on the scanner that you'd called in there, and the sheriff's department wouldn't come. But he said, I loaded up a bunch of guys. Now the guy still had his shotgun. Said, we stopped him on the next street and said, if you don't let that preacher alone, we're going to blow you out of the car. Oh, you're talking about sleep good. Is that right? That's what God can do for his children. Is that right? Well, I went in there and slept that night, buddy. Yes, sir. God knows how to provide and take care of you. And old Paul was on that ship with all those men. And Paul said, don't you worry about it, fellas. You stay on the ship. God will take care of us. Is that right? Then, not only that, let me show you something real quick. Not only they had storage problems, not only was it a state of confusion, but look at verse 22 and verse 23. They had a good standing. The Bible said in verse 22, and I exhort you to be of good cheer. Oh, Paul, can you imagine? They see the sun, moon, and stars for 14 days and nights. That ship is being busted in the sides. He said, but I want you to be of good cheer. He said, for there shall be no toss of any man's life among you of the ship. He said, because this night the angel of the Lord stood by me. Well, I wish I could sing. When the storm of life is raging, stand by me. But when all hell sails, that's what God does for his children. Is that right? So not only that, do you have a good standing? Not only that, but God takes care of you. But I like this. Only time in the New Testament, verse 27. Look at what it said in verse 27. The Bible said, verse 27, it says, but we were 14 nights when the 14th night had come. And we were driven up and down Adrian about midnight. The shipmen deemed that they were near in some country. And they sounded. That means with a rope with a weight on the end of it. If we got any Navy men here, you know what I'm talking about. And they sounded and they founded 20 fathoms. That's 120 foot. And when they had gone a little bit further, they sounded again. They dropped the weight again. And they founded 15. That's 90 foot. If you back up in verse 27 and look at that word deemed, if you want to put it in your Bible, it means suspicious. That we was heading near the shore. He dropped that weight down there. He said, the water's 120 foot deep. He waited a few minutes later. He dropped it again. We're 90 foot deep. He said, I am getting a suspicion that we're near the shore. Can I tell you something? I feel the same way tonight. I got a suspicion that we are near the shore and fixed to go home to be with the Lord. Is that right? I just sounded a while ago, and we're really getting in shallow water. I'm looking for the Lord to come back. He might be tonight to come get his children and to carry us home. Is that right? Now I'm closing with this. Back in 1920s, they used to have way down in South Florida what they called the Freedom Train. And they had the black folks was leaving out of South Florida, way down in South Florida. And they was taking the Freedom Train to go up north. And they would, there was a family there that had a young boy. And they told him, they said, look, if we travel together as a family and they catch us, we'll all go to prison. So here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to wait here until we send you a ticket. Me and Mama's going to go up north and work. And when we get enough money, we're going to send for you to be able to come. That way we won't be all arrested together. That family took off up north. That family took up north, up in Massachusetts to work. 6 months passed. That boy hadn't heard nothing from him. A year passed. He hadn't heard nothing from him. All of a sudden, one day in the mailbox, there was a letter come in the mail to this boy. And inside there was a letter to him and told him, they said, son, in this envelope, it's train stub tickets. It's tickets that get you home. And so what you do, you catch that train that's heading up to Boston, Massachusetts, and you get on that train, and you sit in the back, the conductor will take care of you. And that little boy got on that train, and he was taken out of Florida, way down in South Florida. When he got up to Jacksonville, Florida, the conductor back there said, "Hey, boy, you got your ticket?" He said, "Yes, sir, here it is right here." And you know how they used to do? They tore that ticket off. He said, "Okay, son, you're ready to go." They left out of Jacksonville. They got on up to Atlanta, Georgia. The conductor back there said, "Hey, have you got your ticket?" He said, "Yes, sir." And he took that ticket. He took that ticket. He looked at it. "Yes, sir, going up to Boston." And he took that ticket, and he took it off. They left out of Atlanta, Georgia. They got up to Chattanooga, Tennessee. The conductor come back there and said, "Hey, you got that ticket?" Said, "Yes, sir." And he tore it off. And they left out of there, and they went up to Louisville, Kentucky. And they just kept traveling on up north. And they went up through West Virginia. And they kept tearing his ticket up like that. And right before they got to Boston, Massachusetts, that conductor come tore the piece off of his ticket like that. And he went home, and he looked at his ticket. And here's what he said. He said, "Mister, will you come here, brother?" He said, "Mister," he said, "is there going to be enough to get me home? They sent me that ticket book, but it looks like I don't have much else to get me home with." And that guy said, "Yes, sir, this last one will get you home." Now today, if you're saved by the grace of God, wondering if there's enough to get you home, please read that out loud to the congregation.
"This ticket purchased at Calvary by the blood of Jesus Christ paid in full."
Amen. Amen. Yes, Jesus Christ has got enough to get me and you home. He's going to be sure we get home. Is that right? Don't you worry about it. There's enough for us to get home. So here's my bid to the church here today. Stay with the ship. The saints are right. They'll do everything. You'll have insurrection. You'll have everything going to church. But he said, if you don't stay with the ship, not your soul, but your life won't be saved. Listen to the man. Listen to the man, the leader of the church. And Paul said, and God said, you need to listen to Paul. Paul said, he wouldn't listen to me. They wanted to listen to the man that run the ship. I'll never forget. Man, I used to preach a lot of times over there in the Bahamas. Used to go over there 3 times a year. And I'll never forget the longest day of my life. We was out there, we done traveled maybe, I don't know how many miles. And the ship got rocky. She was reeling and a rocking just like that across that sea, heading over to Freeport, Bahamas. And all of a sudden, the whistle blowed out front. And it was, "Come on the intercom," said, "Everybody get inside. Everybody get inside. There's a storm coming." And the little deckhands was folding up all the folding chairs, and the senior citizens out there, you know, the older you get, there's no sound like you got much circulation, and you get covered up with them blankets, and no matter how light the sun, how bright the sun is shining, you seem like you're cold all the time because of poor circulation. But I'll never forget this. That little deckhands was running, picking up all them people and getting them out of their chairs. And it was a lady, older lady, sitting on her little old chaise chair. She was covered up with that blanket like that. And that little deckhand said, "Hey, did you hear what that captain said? There's a storm coming. And you better get inside the ship." She said, "Sonny boy, let me tell you something. I got a daughter that lives in Atlanta. And I got one lives in heaven. And it don't matter to me which one I go spend the night with." Amen. Is that right? It don't matter. That's what God done for his children. Is that true? It don't matter to me which one I go spend. Stay with the ship. You're going to have lots of opposition. Devils going to set a lot of traps to try to get you out. You don't forget these days what God's done for us. He said, a boy saved. We've seen homes get right. We've seen people give up things. What more can he do for us? Is that right? I bid you, my last message to you is, stay with the ship. God bless you. Bless you. Let's bow our heads with this. You're here tonight. You say, Brother Johnny, as I'm here tonight, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Brother Johnny, that Jesus is my captain and I'm on the old ship of Zion. Last night of revival, no hope so, no guess so, no maybe so. But you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was a day when the ship of Zion come by and Christ said, come on board. What about you, my friend? Do you know for sure that you're on that ship of Zion? I'd like every twice-born child of God, will you signify by an uplifted hand, say, Brother Johnny, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. Isn't that good? You can put them down now. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, it says that Jesus is the captain of our salvation. And I preached one night in the college about Jesus, the captain of our salvation. And one of them little young boys said, captain, that ain't that much. He said, Schwarzkopf is a 4-star general. I said, well, if you want to count stars, he's worth of over a 50 million star general, then, if you want to say it that way. You're here tonight. You bet Paul said that you're going to lose your life. You see, if you don't stay in an old-fashioned Baptist church and run a good doctrine and good preaching, you jump out of that ship, there's sharks out there waiting to get you. And they'll eat you alive. I'm telling you, that's why Paul said, if you abide in the ship. And that verse 44 says this, and that same chapter you read when you get home. And it said, and they all landed safely on the other shore, some on broken pieces, some on pieces of a boat, of a boat oar, pieces of the ship. Now your piece might be a little bit bigger than my piece, but glory to God, I'm going to make it in there. God never lost one. God don't lose, not even during the tribulation period. He sealed 144,000. At the end of the tribulation, he's still got 144,000. God ain't never lost a soul. Never. So you hear, and you say, Brother Johnny, I'm just about ready to quit. I'm just about ready to jump out. Pray for me. Would there be one? God bless you, son. God bless you. God, would there be another? Would there be another? God bless you. Now here's what you got to do. He's your captain. He's called you tonight to convict you, to let you know you need to come snuggle a little bit closer. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil will try to get you to jump ship. He'll try to get you to go visit some of these old churches here that ain't got no doctrine, and it'll get you so confused and messed up. Now listen, you won't know which end is it, which end is up. And you say, Brother Johnny, tonight I want to make a vow to God that I'm going to stay on the old ship of Zion. I'm going to stay close to my captain. Let's all stand if we would, please. Let's stand. Come on. Come on. Come on. Stay with the ship. Don't be jumping the ship. Don't jump the ship. Come on. Come on. Ship.